WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Monday. Thank God it's Monday. And this is the Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Look, maybe you do. I don't particularly want to talk about Terri Schiavo. Poor thing. She's been talked about enough. It's bad manners and it runs against my upbringing. No, this evening as we get started on this Monday, I want to talk about Sun Hudson. Remember that name, Sun Hudson, S-U-N, Sun Hudson, as in light of the world, Sun Hudson. You don't know about Sun Hudson? Really? It's sad. We all need to know about Sun Hudson. Now, you did watch the Republican orgy, or you saw something about it, their little their little orgy where they spit all over Palm Sunday yesterday, and you heard the lies told. Oh, this bill was passed by the Senate unanimously. You heard that, right? What they didn't tell you, of course, was that passage of the bill by a unanimous Senate meant it was passed by a vote of three, count them on your fingers, you right-wingers, 3-0. That's what unanimous passage in the Senate was, 3-0. So then it went over to the House for this ridiculous orgy of hand-wringing and hosannaing and self-righteousness. It was disgusting. So you're aware of all that. That's all background. And you heard, oh, we must vote on the culture of life. You heard that, right? Well, let's talk about Sun Hudson. Sun Hudson was almost 6 months old when he died. Sun Hudson weighed 17 pounds, and he was a patient since birth at Texas Children's Hospital. His mommy was there with him, had him on her lap. He was wearing a little blue sleeper suit. She had him there on her lap when the nurse pulled the ventilator hose out of his little throat. Now, bear in mind, Son's mommy wanted him to live. Son's mommy literally begged for her son's life. Her pleas fell on deaf ears. Now, her pleas fell on deaf ears because in 1997, George W. Bush, proponent of the culture of life, while he was governor of Texas, while he was busy murdering more human beings as governor through the Texas Death House than any other governor in history, well, in 1997, George Bush signed a little law into effect in Texas that allows hospitals to take patients off life support if they don't have the money to pay for it. Now, bear in mind, Son's mommy begged the doctors. Son's mommy begged the hospital. Son's mommy begged the lawyers. Son's mommy begged the judges for the life of her little son. Son's mommy begged for television cameras to come and see that little son was very much alive, but the hospital wouldn't let them in. Son's mommy begged 40 other hospitals to take him and save his life. Not one of those hospitals would do it. They wouldn't. They wouldn't take little Son, because, you see, Son's mommy didn't have the money. Son didn't have the money. No ticky, no shirty, you know? What a pity. What a true, genuine pity that Son wasn't born in Florida, where the nascent campaign of yet another Bush for president is growing like a cancer around the Schiavo family. What a pity Son wasn't a 41-year-old woman with no hope and no future. What a pity Son wasn't useful to the Republican Party. What a pity Tom DeLay hadn't heard about Son. And it's particularly sad because Son was one of his constituents, or at least in the district next to his constituency. What a pity Son's mommy couldn't make donations to the Republican Party. What a pity Son wasn't still in the womb. Then maybe some pro-lifer would have cared about him. Son's mommy carried him 9 long months in her belly and gave birth to him, like the pro-lifers want. Where were they for Son once he was alive? Who am I kidding? A pro-lifer would have cared about Son Hudson? Of course not. Pro-life is a warm, fuzzy feeling bloodthirsty Republicans get, like a shot of brandy on a cold winter's night. No more, no less. But no, Son was born. He wasn't in the womb. And Son's mommy didn't have any insurance, and in Texas, that means Son's mommy didn't see the doctor before he was born. And since he had birth defects when he was born, it also meant he was born with a death sentence. Here's what Son's mommy said to him while he lay dying on her lap. He said, "I talked to him. I told him that I loved him. Inside of me, my son is still alive." But they pulled the vent hose out of little Son Hudson's 6-month-old throat, and he gasped for air a couple of times, and he blinked his eyes, and he smacked his little lips, and I suppose he yearned in whatever way a 6-month-old can for just another breath, for a future. And then Son Hudson did die. Tom DeLay didn't know. George Bush didn't know. The culture of life didn't know. And had they known, I doubt they would have cared. You see, there's a reason Son Hudson had to die. He was poor. He didn't know it. He was only 6 years old, but he surely was poor. And what's more, Son Hudson, well, Son Hudson was black. And you don't have unprecedented Palm Sunday sessions of Congress led by doughy, pasty-faced, worthless, fat, white people for little black babies. Where was Tom DeLay when Son Hudson died? Where was Son Hudson's congressman when Son Hudson had to die because of a law that George Bush signed in 1997 that said money is more important than life? Where was any rotten, filthy, stinking, dirty, greed-fisted Republican congressman? Where was Bill Frist, the cat killer? Where was Rick Pro-Life Santorum? Why wasn't George W. Bush's jet fueled at our expense and ready to go sign a bill to save little son Hudson's life? You know the answer. Where was that low-life pond scum Randall Terry? Where was that rotting dog James Dobson? You know the answer. Where was Pat Robertson? Where was Jerry Falwell? You know the answer. Where were the bishops and the ministers and the pastors and the preachers? You know the answer. They were all in the same place they were when a little five-day-old boy froze to death not too long ago right here in Raleigh County. They were safe, they were warm, they were secure, and they were worried about politics. This sad case, this pitiful tragedy, this murder of little son Hudson puts paid to the whole culture of life. In the so-called pro-life movement. They're dead. Morally and ethically dead. Deader than Terry Schiavo will ever be. Deader than Son Hudson already is. Dead, 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 dead. I'm Bob Kincaid.
With the slap of a handy man, it has an only son. His mother and father said, what a lovely boy. We'll teach him what we learned. Oh, yes, just what we learned. We'll bless him up warmly and we'll send him to school. We'll teach him how to life to be.
Toughest men and women in the area. West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Bickley's Raleigh County Armory. See up to 100 area men and women slug it out for thousands in prize money, tough man jackets, and the title Toughest Man and Toughest Woman. Plus, an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. Tickets are on sale now, starting at just $12 for general admission. Reserved at VIP ringside seats also available. Get your tickets today at the Raleigh County Armory or at any Ticketmaster outlet, including Kroger. Card by phone at 304-342-5757. For additional information or to sign up, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd at Beckley's Raleigh County Armory.
Tough it out.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. If you've got an old cell phone laying around the house, recycle it. It's easy, it's free, best of all, it's good for the environment. Learn more at calltorecycle.com. That's call, the number 2, recycle.com. Or call toll free at 877-2-RECYCLE. Please, answer the call to recycle.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Let your children play. give this man a ride, sweet lamb, Rocky will die. Killer on the road.
Welcome back. Yeah. 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. Getting ahead of myself. 21 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Thank God we've got a fresh week to talk. If you want to take part in the program, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And, of course, you can send emails to WWNR at netphase.net or Bob at Head On Radio. The second one, I can even read it home. Okay, to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm great. Yourself?
Fine. Happy Easter to you, and happy birthday, your little girl.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to make a few comments about this Terry Schiavo thing, if you don't mind.
No, sure, go ahead.
Well, in answer to your question about where were these people when these people died, they were out suing for their own selfish agendas. And I think that Terry Schiavo has become a poster child for American hypocrisy.
I think you're 100% correct.
Now, as I see it, when she married her husband, the marriage vow contained the clause in sickness and in health.
True.
And basically, her responsibility for her health was that of her husband. Well, things do change. People don't stay married. Now, if I were a judge, and it would take a very wise judge to make a decision, but this is what I would do. I would issue a decree of divorcement and return this woman to the bosom of her family and let them to make the decision as to what should be done. That's what I would do personally. Now, that's not washing my hands like Pontius Pilate or whatever, but effectively, the marriage contract between this man and woman really does not exist. And if her family wants to keep her, then let them do that. I would extend them that latitude. However,
Jim, let me just interject, if I may, please.
Yeah, sure.
There is something about that family that gives me the creeps. Okay.
Well, regardless of that,
now, I say that because they said we weren't trying to politicize this process. We all heard them say that, and yet the woman is standing up. Do you know who Randall Terry is?
No.
Okay, Randall Terry is one of these really, really filthy anti-abortion people. Okay.
Well, of course, now Bob,
and
realize this whole thing is being used by the religious right to undermine the authority of the court system. I know what they're doing here.
Yes.
And but looking at it just as a human being, when a doctor takes the Hippocratic Oath,
someone has to petition for that bill of divorcement, Jim.
I understand. But like I say, they can be granted.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at here, either Mr. Schiavo has to ask for one, or someone has to ask for one in Mrs. Schiavo's interest.
I would hope that someone would, but
they have had lawyers. The Schindler family has had enough lawyers to sue a herd of wet elephants. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Schiavo has had his own lawyer. Clearly, Mr. Schiavo does not want a divorce. I think he takes his vow. He's moved on. 7 or 8 years into this process, he did hook up with someone else.
Oh, yes, he has.
He has not married that woman. He has fathered bastard children by her.
Well, you know, that's fine. I would give him the right to go ahead and make this other woman an honest woman and return this woman to the bosom of her family, but I don't want to get wrapped around the axle on that, if I may please.
Okay, go ahead.
But as a physician, you take the oath, the Hippocratic Oath, and it says to enter and do none harm.
First, do no harm. You're absolutely right.
Right. Now, I think allowing a person to persist in a state of abject hopelessness and misery is certainly an abnegation of that oath. And as a physician, I would do what is best for the patient. Interesting enough, King George V, when he was dying in 1936, was snuffed. They gave his physician, Lord Dawson, gave him massive injections of cocaine, and so that he would die before midnight, so that the King's death notice could appear in the London Times instead of the later afternoon papers. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was. King George V was given massive injections of cocaine and codeine. And Lord Dawson, his physician, made the report. He was effectively euthanized. But in this case, in the vegetative state, there is no litmus test that medical science has to determine whether or not this woman has brainwave activity or whatever, or whether she is in a vegetative state other than a clinical diagnosis.
Right.
In other words, you can't go in and you can't give a blood test or anything, any type of computer-assisted tomograph that will tell you definitively exactly what is going on between her ears. There is no way. And unfortunately, since it depends on the clinical diagnosis, you've got that...
Well, wait, can I interrupt you just for a minute, Jim?
Sure, sir.
Because what you just said runs contrary to what every one of those rotten, stinking, filthy Republicans stood up in Congress last night and said. I heard it with my own ears.
There is no test.
Yeah. They won't let her have no PET scan. They won't let her have no MRI.
The MRI CAT scan cannot do that. I have looked into the research. I'm not a doctor, but I know enough about this to realize CAT scans and MRIs cannot diagnose the type of situation.
Well, they say that her brain has been rendered soup.
Well, basically, you have, when a person in the first year is called a persistent vegetative state, and anything after a year is called a permanent vegetative state, and she is in a permanent vegetative state and has been since 1991.
She's not going to get up and tap dance across the room.
Well, it would be a miracle if she did. And what I hate is this, is that people like Tom DeLay and the Congress of the United States have made literally fools of themselves by trying to use this woman and put her on public television, subpoena her as a witness before Congress, and they have done so to appeal to the religious right and to undermine the court system. They're trying to destroy the court system, and you know, what is happening here is a bunch of what I call governmental cross-dressing.
Yeah.
Because as I said the other night, it is the Congress' position to make the law, the court's decision, and to interpret the law and use the process of judicial review, Marbury versus Madison,
mm-hmm.
and it is the president's function under Article 2 to enforce the law. And what they're doing, they're all trying to grandstand and get involved in these things. And Tom DeLay had the sense, had the nerve to say, in our Constitution, we protect others from taking other people's lives. And I thought to myself, dear God in heaven, then will you please explain that to the fathers and mothers of 100,000 Iraqi dead or the mothers of some of the men who've been killed over there in Iraq?
Absolutely. And there's one thing that I haven't heard bandied about yet, but I'm as convinced of it as I am that the sun will rise tomorrow, Jim, and that is this. You're right about the pandering to the religious right. I mean, it's what they do. But there is a reason for the pandering. You know, George Bush isn't going to run for president again unless they change the Constitution. What happens in Florida doesn't do much for Tom DeLay's reelection chances in Texas. He's reelected whether we like it or not. Okay? The individual pandering to individual constituent groups is negligible, I believe. There is one person, Jim, who stands to gain in all of this. And his name is Jeb Bush.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And they have plans for him to be the next president of the United States, and they've got to get him in all warm and cozy and fuzzy with the right-wing mouth breathers.
And what they're trying to do also in the 2006 elections, the Democratic congressman who would have voted against them, they would use, I can hear people right now trying to nail Mr. Rahal if he had voted against this, or if he was not there to vote, but they would say you voted to kill Terry Schiavo. That's exactly what they're going to do to any congressman who would stand up against these people.
No, I think you're right. This just proves that we have got to finally go on the offensive and destroy the pro-life movement.
Well,
because they are not pro-life. They're not.
No, they're not. They're not. As a matter of fact, they're just living hypocrites.
And I don't care if it's by laughing at them, by ridiculing, by pointing at them in the streets. You know, mommy, who's that funny, doughy, pasty-faced white man? I don't care how we do it. That group has got to be shamed out of existence.
Bob, let me tell you something. Nobody could be more pro-life than I am.
Precisely.
And I just want to share a personal experience with you. And I may run over, and I hope
that's okay. We're not in a hurry.
But, and I told the story this afternoon, and I feel better to tell it now. But when I was an 11-year-old kid, I received my first air rifle. And I stalked this beautiful bird in my parents' backyard for 3 days. And finally, I brought it down, and I killed it. And when I held that warm, dead creature in my hands, I burst into tears. And my mother came to me, and she said, I saw what you were doing, and I couldn't tell you, but I think you have to learn to live with this yourself and learn this lesson the hard way. And that is not to take anything that you could never give back. Well, Bobby, years passed. I grew older. I grew up. And there was another time when I had another type of weapon in my hand. And I pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, I say, I wish I had never been in that position.
I know. Forgive, O Lord.
But it was something that, at the time, that was considered to be necessary and right. But, I mean, you know, now I don't take anything I can't get back.
Hear, hear, Jim. You know, that's the mark of humanity, the ability to learn. Some of us have it and some of us don't.
But like I say, this woman, it is horrible what they have done with her. She is in place in full, in the full of her bed and the... and her abdomen exposed and the feeding tube exposed. I mean, what type of sensationalism are they going to have on TV next? I can tell you, within 10 years, I know they're going to be televising executions.
Oh, I don't think there's a doubt. You're right.
And these people, like DeLay and these fellow compatriots of his, I mean, these men are using this poor vegetative woman and the misery that has surrounded her family for their own political agenda. And if that doesn't come before the American people, if that doesn't pull the jack out of the box, I don't know what the hell will.
It's an open question, Jim. I hope it will, but, they're making a mockery of everything that is Congress. And by the way, Article 1, Section 9, Congress shall pass no bills of attainder.
We talked about that Friday night.
And I've watched all weekend. Not one single soul stood up there and said that.
No, I noticed they didn't. As a matter of fact, I surfaced that issue on the Hill today with some people up there. And I said, will you please remind your bosses, and I was talking to the people in the legislative branch, that they cannot pass a bill of attainder.
Well, the only way I can figure it, Jim, is that by its ancient and technical definition, a bill of attainder must have an element of criminality about it. And that's the only way I can figure that it's not a bill of attainder. If it's not that, though, it certainly seems like an ex post facto law.
Well, a bill of attainder and ex post facto were the two things against our Constitution. But, you know, when I talked to the legal aides up there, or the people who were the administrative aides in some of the offices, they didn't know what a bill of attainder was.
Of course not.
They didn't know. They really didn't know. And I thought to myself, I think you need a brush in just not constitutional law, but just simple ninth grade civics.
Well, you know, we quit teaching that for a while. Hey, Jim, we do have
to
roll.
We're paying for it. That's a dang gun cheer.
You're darn right we are. Thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Take care. All right, break time. A little late getting to it, but I thought that was worth the effort. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A weekend fire has destroyed an apartment complex in Oak Hill. The fire was reported at the six-unit complex on East Main around 9:30 yesterday morning. Fire was fully involved when Oak Hill police and firefighters from Oak Hill, Mount Hope, and Fayetteville arrived. Efforts to put out the fire were hampered by construction in the construction that was going on in the remodeled building. Only two of three apartments were occupied. An elderly female tenant was taken to Plateau Medical, where her condition was unknown today. Traffic from the intersection of Route 19 to Fountain Terrace Shopping Center was blocked until around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon because of that fire. A Kanawha County man has been accused of torturing and killing a dog that was tied to a vehicle, then drugged, and then taped to the steering wheel of an abandoned SUV and left to die. He's 37-year-old Mark Allen Starcher of Pond Gap, charged yesterday with one count of felony animal cruelty. Lieutenant Jess Bales with Kanawha County Sheriff's Office says Starcher is being held at the South Central Regional Jail. ATV riders found the dog's body on Monday near Sanderson, that's just east of the Pinch Quick area. Its front paws and chest cavity had been taped to the steering wheel of an abandoned SUV. And Raleigh County Schools will not be showing a controversial music video. The We Are Family Foundation distributed 61,000 copies. The three-minute video shows a large group of popular children's characters, including Barney, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Arthur singing and dancing together to the song We Are Family. The video's producers say it teaches tolerance for all types of families. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy, low near 30. But then for tomorrow, rain, possibly thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 50. Rain and thunderstorms possible tomorrow night, low 40. Then a chance of showers on Wednesday with a high near 52. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Auto Workers voted over the weekend to approve a contract with CNH Global. Workers have been locked out of the tractor and backhoe manufacturer for 4 months after a strike last year. The agreement ends the lockout today, and workers will return to work this week at CNH Global plants in Racine, Wisconsin, and Burlington, Iowa. The UAW says the contract includes significant improvements over CNH's so-called final offer that was turned down by UAW members last year. The UAW represents 650 workers at four CNH Global locations.
Arkansas joins a long list of states saying Walmart is number one. The world's largest retail chain, whose main headquarters is in Bentonville, Arkansas, is the number one beneficiary of public health care programs in that state. An article in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette says Walmart cost its home state nearly $16 million annually. The report says that 3,971 of the company's 45,106 employees are on public assistance. While the retailer does offer health care to some employees, a study done by the AFL-CIO late last year says that the insurance premiums for many Walmart families is as high as $250 per month. Part-time employees do not qualify for family coverage. Many critics aren't surprised by the Arkansas report, as Georgia, Tennessee, Washington, Massachusetts, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Connecticut have all released similar findings. In addition, the University of California Berkeley Labor Center did a study last year that found Walmart workers costing California taxpayers $86 million annually.
Union mechanics at Northwest Airlines say cutting mechanics' jobs risks safety. Northwest said last week it'll cut as many as 930 jobs. The union says outside contractors, including some in Singapore, will do the maintenance and repair work after the jobs are cut. Ted Ludwig, president of Local 33 of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association in Minneapolis-St. Paul, says the chances of fatal crashes go up with every takeoff of a plane serviced by non-Northwest mechanics. Northwest is trying to cut the pay of its union mechanics.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A study by Microsoft says that office workers in the United Kingdom are liars. In the recent survey, nearly two-thirds of UK respondents admit to lying to associates. On top of that, 81% did acknowledge that deceit was a primary reason for stress in the workplace. 64% say the primary reason for lying is lack of information, and 51% blame time pressure. More than half of those surveyed felt lying undermines workplace trust.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 19 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Lest you think, I don't know, that I just make stuff up. I don't. What you want to go looking for is a law that was created in Texas and signed into effect by then-Governor George W. Bush, and it is called the Texas Futility of Treatment Law. The Futility of Treatment Law. And that was what was used to kill little six-month-old Sun Hudson. That law says that if people who know better than the loved ones decide it, and there's no money, then treatment can be declared futile, and the person can be killed. And it passed in Texas in 1997 with nary a peep from the pro-lifers. These people are sickos. And you know, how interesting that on the front page of the, now this is where I read to you from the newspaper because I hear it's really hot in local talk radio. I'm just kidding. But powerful lobby now seen as bully by some. Yeah. And what they're talking about is this gang of scumbuckets, the West Virginians for Life, who don't give a damn about life, but instead care only about advancing the sick, twisted Republican agenda. I would love Larry Messina, a friend of the show, a friend of mine, wrote the article in today's and appeared in both papers, the Chaz Gaz and the Rag Ho Old. And he references this nasty witch. I've got friends who are witches, and I don't want to insult them. This pitiful waste of DNA, executive director of West Virginians for Life, Karen Cross, and how they have bullied and browbeaten our elected representatives to get their own way. And they feel like they are truly a force to be reckoned with now. And God knows, if I ever run across them, I'm going to stand, and I'm going to point, and I'm going to tell my children what a bunch of bizarre freaks they are, and about how they don't give a tinker's damn about life, that they would whore out their political position for anything that meant advancement of Republican politics, because that's what they do. If they're West Virginians for Life, then they let a five-year-old baby freeze to death in Raleigh County not 4 months ago. Okay? You understand? Life is life. If they're West Virginians for Life, instead of pushing this idiotic, brain-dead Lacey Peterson bill through the legislature like a, you know what goes through a goose. And it apparently goes through quickly. They wouldn't be doing that. They would be raising seven shades of purple hell because of what's happening to our state's Medicaid system. They would be raising hell over what's happening to the food stamp program. But you've never heard not one blessed word out of these filthy, sick, disgusting hypocrites, the West Virginians for Life. Not one word. Not one word for the medical care for infants in need of neonatal intensive care. Not one word. Not one. You've never heard a peep out of them
about the fact that it is possible for a woman to be pregnant in this state and, just like Sun Hudson's mommy, never have not one single appointment during her pregnancy with a physician. Not one. You have never heard it from them. You never will. They are worthless. They are political hacks and political whores of the worst order. Understand? That's what you're dealing with in the culture of life. God, they make me sick. Son Hudson's only one case, you know, but poor little fella. If, you know, I personally don't believe these born-agains and pro-lifers even believe the hokum that they preach. Because if they did, they'd never complain about an abortion, because that little zygote, that little blastocyst, that little embryo, that little fetus, just, boom, gone to heaven. And better off for having done so. Right? That's what their theology says. Never even had to put up with the travails of this earth. Just, boom, off to heaven. Floating around on the clouds with a little pair of wings and a halo and, you know, just little flying fetus. That's not my belief. That's their beliefs. Okay? But no, they want babies born. Don't give a damn what happens to them afterward. Just like Senator Weeks once said on the when I was substituting for Dr. Bill. What happens to them after they're born is not their responsibility. If they starve, so be it. If 1,000-pound rocks get dumped on them by greed-driven strip mine, by big coal, so be it. It's God's will. God wanted that rock to drop on that little feller. That is the pro-life industry. And yeah, Sunshine, they're an industry. They are a money-making concern. And, you know, I guess the pro-life industry didn't hear what I heard the other night when I was listening to a lecture by that filthy fat Tony Scalia, who sits on the Supreme Court and is doing everything in his power to run for Chief Justice once William Rehnquist shuffles off this mortal coil. Because I heard Fat Tony Scalia. And Fat Tony Scalia said, abortion is a non-issue in the United States. He was speaking before the Woodrow Wilson Foundation. And he said, abortion is a non-issue in the United States. It is the law of this land. It is not a legal issue. I'm glad Karen Cross of West Virginians for Life never heard that, because that pretty much says that they're done. Her and her little pro-life creeps. Okay? They're done. You understand? It's all hokum. It's all a shell game to motivate a bunch of people who don't have the common sense to look past the fundamental dishonesty with which these jokers operate. The little son Hudson's dead. One of Tom DeLay's constituents. But he didn't get to be old enough to contribute to all of Tom's criminal pacts. So it didn't matter when the hospital killed him, because he didn't have enough money to survive. Sunshine, this is beginning to look an awful lot like Logan's Run. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Gary's with us. Hey, Gary, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening?
I just wanted to touch base with you on a couple of things.
Sure.
I was down in Virginia today, and gas is 20 cents a gallon cheaper.
Really?
If that makes you feel any better. Yeah, you can still get it down there all over the place for $1.99 a gallon.
Isn't that funny?
About 219.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that sounds like cheap gas now?
Well, yeah. You were talking about that here a week or two ago.
That's the cheap stuff.
Yeah. Hey, and there's something else I wanted to bring up. We discussed a couple of weeks ago when they changed those lights over.
Yeah.
And, of course, I guess you probably seen Saturday's paper.
No, I guess I didn't.
Well, they had a bad wreck out there.
Oh, yes. That I
remember. A log truck went through the red light and hit a Pepsi truck. And, in fact, I even...
Yeah, that was Friday.
Yeah, I know a person who that was their cousin, and he's in real bad shape now.
Oh, my God.
And I think it was all totally unnecessary. I think they're going to hurt and kill more people out there because of that stupidity.
That log truck was trying to shoot the yellow, wasn't it?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. It's Do you believe that?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Gary.
No, he wasn't trying to do it. He knew, a truck driver knows he can't do that. That's why those lights were so valuable before, because when it started flashing, you knew you better gear down and get ready to stop.
Okay.
Because once those lights start flashing, you did not have time to get through that intersection. You knew that if you tried, you were going to run it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to run it every day. In fact, I'll be running up through there tomorrow.
Well, what happened then?
Well, see, if you don't have any warning, now just think you've got something, a big, heavy truck. It weighs 80,000 pounds, and all of a sudden you look up, the light's yellow. You got, you know, 5 seconds at best to stop.
And the miracle of inertia behind you.
Exactly. You just can't do it. I mean, it is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, I understand what you're getting at now. He didn't deliberately try to shoot the yellow.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
It went yellow in front of him, and he didn't have a prayer.
Well, I'll tell you what, the only way you could safely travel that highway now is if you didn't exceed probably 40 miles an hour if you're driving a truck. Because you're going to have to drive 40 to give yourself enough time to really be safe to be able to stop. Because those yellow lights aren't very long, now you know that.
That's true.
And so really, I think it's just a shame that they wouldn't make that change. I don't know exactly the person responsible for it, but it's already hurt somebody. And mark my word, there'll be more to come.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And it was that was a real mess too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Somebody got seriously hurt. They could have been killed. A lot of property damage.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, let me get kind of conservative on this, just so maybe the Republicans can understand, Gary. It's not just that somebody got very badly hurt. I hate that part, but that's because I'm the way I am. Let's talk to the Republicans where they live. It cost money. I mean, people had to come out, clean up the wreck. There had to be a fire truck, an
ambulance. You know, now that you brought that up, it looks like insurance companies will pipe up and say something about this.
Kind of wonder.
I mean, because they, you know, usually rule the roost on about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people that want wood stoves in their homes, and they can't have them because their insurance will be canceled.
Jeez. You know, these people amaze me, Gary. They
on Guess Who I've seen, also seen Saturday.
Yeah.
At the local gun shop.
Who's that?
Our Senator Russ Weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was standing around chewing fat talking to people.
I figured he'd be ordering one of those 50 caliber shoot down the jets rifles.
Well, I don't know. I got a couple of boxes of 22s and left, so I didn't get a chance to say hi to him. But
I don't think you missed anything.
Well, I don't. We got different feelings about Russ, and I'm going to say there's things I wouldn't agree with him on. I mean, anything probably.
Well, he's just beginning to be a little bit of an embarrassment with his whole paranoid Pinecrest scandal.
There might be something there.
But there wasn't. I mean, a grand jury of competent jurisdiction said there was nothing there. And before that ever happened, you know, Russ said, well, just give it to the grand jury. If they say there's nothing, I'll apologize.
Yeah.
And then the grand jury said there's nothing. And where was Russ's apology? Nowhere.
The grand jury is the best way in the world to figure that wrongdoing. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, and Russ, you know, Russ, he said he'd apologize. He hasn't apologized. And now he's running some paranoid scheme, I guess, where alien pod people replace the grand jury members.
I haven't been able to keep up with the news lately because I've been working a lot, so I'm sure I've missed a lot of that. Sounds kind of funny, though.
Well, it is. It's just, you know, and Bill, you know, wanting to paint in God We Trust on everything from fire hydrants to grocery stores. And, more, you know, we need a big rock here and a big rock there. This guy's just a waste of time and money.
Well, Bob, I would just as soon see the Ten Commandments everywhere, see Robert C. Byrd's name stamped on everything. I mean, they ought to have a law out there that says you can't have anything named after you until you're dead.
Well, then we need to pass that law. But, you know, at the very least, the argument could be made, Gary, that having Bob Byrd's name on things doesn't constitute a religion.
Well, I don't know about that.
On the other hand, those ten commandments, you know, first of all,
I believe Mary Lou out there
now
believes in the risen bird. Now, I mean,
not naughty naughty, but the fact of the matter is, you know, those ten commandments, that, you know, they're not even original. They were ripped off from the Sumerians, for God's sakes. I mean, let's print the Code of Hammurabi. It's a lot longer and it's got a lot more stuff you can't do.
Well,
they just pulled the top ten out of that.
In 50 years, you might have a following, but right now, I don't believe you, including me.
Yeah, go read it. You know, I'll just say things. You know that. Go read it.
And I know that Sumerians are very, very interesting people, but there's a lot of things. I mean, if something makes sense, it makes sense. things like thou shalt not kill, you shall honor your mother and father,
and every,
thou shalt not steal.
Yeah,
those things just make sense.
Right, and every culture,
why the liberals are so against them.
And every culture has developed those rules independent of that particular culture.
Well, why then do we have to be against it? Just simply because the religion said it? Why don't we just accept them on their face for the common sense that they represent?
Well, then that's fine. You know, we've got a law that says thou shalt not steal. Are we all so dumb and criminal that we need to be told don't steal? Most of us are moral enough without it that we don't go do it.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of people that do it, because a lot of people can justify it, you know. Maybe there should be another commandment in there. Thou shalt not justify wrongdoing.
You know, we got thou shalt not kill, and yet this Republican Party that's so absolutely gone bonkers, bananas, crazy about the Ten Commandments, it didn't slow them down when it was time to kill that six-month-old little boy in Houston.
I missed that one.
No, they just pulled the vent tube right out of him because he couldn't afford to pay for his treatment under the law that George Bush signed in 1997 that said, if you're sick and you're on life support and you can't afford to pay, we can kill you.
Yeah.
The Texas Futility of Treatment Act of 1997.
What about Terry Schiavo? Now, I heard you talking about that a little bit earlier. I caught part of it anyway.
Well, it's sad and it's sick and it's some sort of a con, and I think it's developed exclusively, Gary, to introduce and get Jeb Bush all nice and comfy and cozy with the pro-life crowd so they can go out and motivate the base for 2008.
Well, do you support unplugging her?
Huh?
You support unplugging her?
I support end-of-life decisions. You know, this case has been seen and reviewed more than twice by 19 different judges.
Yeah.
And what we've got here is the Republican right coming in wanting to supplant the judiciary just like they did in 2000.
Well,
isn't it funny that both of these happen in Florida?
There's a little bit to be said about this. I mean, her husband has got some vested interest here. Why he would want her to be bumped off? Why would her mother and father try to go against her wishes? I mean, they're
well, you got to understand, Gary. These people, the parents, gave sworn statements in the court case. And we don't hear much about them, but they did. There was a guy, a lawyer named Wolfson, who specializes in these kinds of hellish medical cases. And he was appointed to represent Terry Schiavo and Terry Schiavo only. He
yeah.
owed no allegiance to the judge, to Mr. Schiavo, or to the Schindler family. His only allegiance was to Terry Schiavo. And he took statements from the parents, the Schindlers, and he said, okay, you say that she needs to be kept alive because she didn't have a written advance directive. They said, correct. He said, let's assume for a minute that she did have a written advance directive saying she didn't want feeding tubes. Would you allow her to be unhooked then? And the answer was very clear, no.
Well, I mean,
they wouldn't even honor. They wouldn't even honor their
a written advance directive.
But in the hypothetical situation where even if she had had one, they would not have followed her wishes. It's just pitiful. And this poor thing has been made a spectacle throughout the United States. We've had a special Palm Sunday session of Congress over her. You know, assume for a moment. Getting her shoes, Gary. We're going to make a spectacle of Gary all over America. And you're a vegetable, and you can't do anything about it, and we're going to use you for political gain. Now, you want to live? Do you want to survive to be made a spectacle of?
Well,
or would you like to have some dignity?
I think the proper thing to do is go and keep her alive. I mean, I would certainly respect a person's wishes to...
Hey, Gary, we're out of here. We did it again. Later.
Okay.
Sorry. This is News Talk 620 WWNR, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On. You know who I am. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies? Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. So glad it's Monday. Had a fun little weekend, but, you know, and which included Saturday night. That stunning, the most amazing, awesome basketball game I have ever watched in my entire life, I think. Talking, of course, about WVU's triumph. Not a victory. Man, that was a triumph over Wake Forest. And, you know, I love that I had Wake Forest moving on. I'm so glad I was wrong. 111 to 105, my goodness gracious. Such basketball. Mike Gansey, what, 29 points in the last 10 minutes of the game? It was beautiful. It was just inspiring in the extreme. So, Thursday night now? Is it Thursday night? Texas Tech, Bobby Knight, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think they can, don't you? Well, I sure want them to. Now, if you were watching, phone number, 252-6200 locally. If you're listening on the Internet, you might want to use the number. That's 800-620-9967. What I was about to say, if you've been watching the news all weekend long, you could be forgiven for thinking that there was nothing going on in the world except this pitiful farce in Florida, Barry Schiavo. You could be forgiven for that, but you would also be wrong. There's other news out there. Ran across this one thanks to our good friend David. Dateline Nashville. I'm going to talk a little bit about a fella named Chris Ruhlman. Chris Ruhlman is 40 years old, and his bio on the website of a radio station down there, 94 FM The Fist, or Fish, says that he is quickly becoming known as America's top Christian adult contemporary radio voice. He's personable and friendly, and perhaps one of the silliest people you'll ever meet. That's Chris Ruhlman. Chris Ruhlman has a wife. Chris Ruhlman has kids. He's a native of Memphis, Tennessee. And his voice work even extends to a cell phone company where it's his voice saying, "The customer you're trying to reach is not currently available." Okay? And some other messages, too. So he's got a wife. He's got three children. He's a born-again right-wing Christian. Okay? So here's what happened. Friday, Chris Ruhlman was arrested by federal agents and charged with downloading kiddie porn from the Internet. Chris Ruhlman, America's top Christian adult contemporary radio voice, charged with possession of kiddie porn. Chris Ruhlman, family values man. Chris Ruhlman, married with three kids. Upstanding, born again. Evangelical. And one of the silliest people you'll ever meet. They seized the computer. And apparently the authorities say that they also seized other media-related tapes and DVDs
So apparently he wasn't content just to look at pictures.
I'm silly. I like it when they're doing it in live action.
Okay. Ruhlman's wife declined to comment. He faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in federal prison and $250,000 fine, being held without bond. And the investigating officer said, none of the images we have for evidence appear to depict any of the children presently residing at the home. What the hell does that mean? It depicts children who have resided in the home but don't now? How many times do I have to tell you that the right-wing, born-again, fake Christian, pseudo-Christian, faux Christian, these right-wing nuts are sick? How many times do I... No, they're not. Yes, they are. Wouldn't trust them in an outhouse with a muzzle on, as Paul says from time. He does midday Christian radio in Nashville. And the station's website of 94FM The Fist, or Fish, 94FM The Fish. The website boasts, sit down, this is a good one, more humor and comedy from the right-wing hypocrites that I couldn't pay a comedy writer to come up with. This is what it says on the website of 94FM The Fist, or Fish.
Safe for the whole family.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. Sure thing. You bet. So I was curious. And I called down, made a couple of calls around Davidson County. Because I wanted to know, I wanted to know something a little more about Chris Ruhlman. I called the Davidson County Election Commission. Called the Davidson County Election Commission. And I just asked, I said, is Chris Ruhlman, and gave his address. Said, is he a registered voter? Why, yes, sir, he is. How does he vote? I said, is he a registered anything? They explained, well, here in Tennessee, we don't register as a party. You declare your party when you go to the primaries. I said, well, oh, I understand. I see. They do that in the South. I said, well, which primaries does Mr. Ruhlman vote in? Republican. I said, well, just to make sure, do you have any record of him ever having voted in a Democratic primary? Why, no. So this guy's a Republican? Well, yes, he is. Thank you very much, and you have a good day. You too. So there you have it. Another sick, twisted, pervert, mainstream Republican. How many times do I have to tell you there is something desperately wrong with the Republican Party that attracts the pederasts and the pedophiles and the serial killers and the kiddie diddlers and the kiddie porn enjoyers, aficionados. Something desperately wrong with the Republican Party. Listen, we got to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
If you want to go shopping for the same old stuff, go to Walmart.
But if you're looking for antiques, crafts, and collectibles, there's only one place to go.
Beaver Creek,
loaded with fascinating items.
And you won't believe the buys.
Come see the Amish Pantry.
Discover the excitement of shopping again at Beaver Creek Antiques, Craft, and Collectibles Mall. Exit 125 Airport Road off I-64. Also, affordable vendor booth space available. Call 254-9835. 254-9835. It's a shopping experience like no other. Beaver Creek Antique, Craft, and Collectibles Mall.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is Head On, and I'm Bob. And you're free to get your 2 cents worth in there. I can't hardly believe that a Republican would be a pervert. Yeah, let's discuss it. Talk amongst yourselves, as the old saying goes. Let's go back to the phones. Ed's with us, and he's been waiting. Thanks, Ed. You're Head On.
Yeah, how you doing this evening, Bob?
Doing good. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Just saying amen to what you're saying. But it don't surprise me that the Republicans are where they are on these perversions and so forth. Start with, to be one, you gotta have your head screwed on wrong.
Right.
And you know what? I heard on another program there, one caller called in and called the liberals Hitler.
Oh,
my God. You know, what does he think that George Bush has got a stamp behind him on everything he does, from his cabinet to the Congress to the Senate, all of them? And talking about sending mixed signals to the terrorists. I think they got their signals pretty well straight on what they want.
Sure they do.
But one caller said that on the anti-war demonstrations that took place throughout the country, that we were sending bad signals over there, and we're against we're against our troops. He's got to turn around. We're against the war. We're not against George Bush, and we're not against our soldiers.
No, heavens no. We'd kind of like to hope that they can come home before any more get blown up.
Well, on the one I attended Saturday, that was brought up, that so be glad to see our soldiers get back and so forth. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, instead of us being the ones that takes a position against the soldiers, the ones that support the wars wants to see them get killed.
Well, sure. I mean, they come home in those shiny metal boxes, and it's all patriotic. You know, it just makes their little right-wing hearts flutter, Ed.
Yeah. But, of course, I said before, they'd kiss a horse's butt and call it a morning glory.
You're
and,
right.
The Christians for Bush, it's obvious that they're for killing our young men off. And you hear these people get on that other stuff and hoorah about us sending mixed signals causing to get killed. They ain't got no business over anyway in the Bush oil war.
No. We don't need a single solitary American in Iraq.
Mm-mm.
We didn't need one. They had nothing to do with 9/11. But, you know, the American people are so snowed, Ed. I heard it today. I forget exactly how it was phrased. You know, the mission has changed from going to Iraq to get rid of an evil dictator to going to Iraq. And you know, funny, the one thing that was never mentioned was weapons of mass destruction. You know, because of the manipulation of the right wing media, you never even hear that anymore.
No, and the other
that's
the
not
other
why we
thing
went there.
Is now they pulled off a lot of the weapons of mass destruction and gone to. Now it's for the purpose of democracy.
Right.
I mean, the deceit and lying, if they didn't have that, it's just like I said about one of the callers calling in there this morning and the bad signals we send, and we're for getting our boys killed. And when they're the ones that send them over, it's not us. We didn't vote. I didn't vote for George Bush. I didn't vote for that war. I didn't have a chance to vote on it.
And as we were running up to it so hot and heavy to go in there and find those weapons of mass destruction, Ed, there were a bunch of us who were standing up yelling at the top of our lungs, there's no weapons. There's no weapons of mass destruction. This is a made-up war. This is a cooked-up job. This is a fraud. And, of course, we were called unpatriotic. But, yeah. You know, but of course, there were no weapons of mass destruction. There are no weapons of mass destruction. Even the capture of Saddam turns out to have been a fraud.
Yep. I wonder what they think now about when the truth is coming out. Of course, they're beating that down. Like you said, the media is not covering. You don't have news no more. You have propaganda, analyzation, and whatever goes with it.
Yeah, and hoorah and rah-rah.
Yeah, and what about the fact that come out that George Bush was didn't really get serious about going after Saddam Hussein until he started trying to make deals with other people to get the oil.
Yeah.
And I've said before, I'd a lot rather might come out and say, well, because of the security of our country and the well-being of our country, we're going to take that oil. You know, I could have accepted that a lot better than a stinking lie, because now if people are smart, they're not going to, you know, he's worse than the Christians, the so-called Christians.
Yeah.
The ones that get on here and run their mouth. But, you know, they used to have a thing on radio and television that said, go to Antioch's College, get a hammerlock on ignorance. Now, they don't have to go to Antioch College to do that. A lot of them come out of the womb like that, and they ain't never going to change.
And they don't improve over time, Ed. You're absolutely right. You know,
all right, Bob. Just want to make some comments and let you know what's been said on these other programs.
I appreciate
I'm sure
it.
You'll get some rebuttals on that. And I was going to tell the guy that called in about the liberals being ignorant and being Hitlerized. If he want to see a Hitler, tell him how to do that. Grab himself by the seat of the pants, guide himself through the bathroom door, and look in the mirror and say, who, me? That'll get it.
Yeah, that'd do it. That'd do it pretty quick, Ed.
All right, Bob.
Appreciate
it. Later, buddy.
Later now.
Bye.
Bye. You know, when you think about that embarrassing congressional orgy of fake sympathy and hypocrisy that went on last night in the well of the House. Wouldn't it have been nice to have had that kind of debate on maybe the Medicare prescription drug bill instead of something that was rammed through in the still of the night without the consultation of not one Democrat? And I've got a question here to which I do not know the answer. I don't, and if someone does, I would love to be enlightened. It is a fact. It is an absolute fact that this whole Terry Schiavo congressional bill of attainder got started in the Senate. And as I noted, you won't hear it on CNN or most of the other, liberal media. Yeah, right. Gotcha. You won't hear it on the liberal media. But the fact is, the vote in the Senate of the United States of America to advance this Terry Schiavo bill to the House was unanimous. That's all you hear. It was a unanimous vote.
The Senate voted unanimously to send the bill to the House of Representatives for consideration this evening in an extraordinary Palm Sunday session.
Right? You heard that. I don't care. Fox, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS. Did any single one of those point out the fact that the unanimous vote in the Senate was 3-0? 3-0 was the vote. Now, here's my question. How do you do business, how do you manage to do business in the United States Senate with 3 senators? Are the quorum rules just gone and dead? Or were the other 97 senators, be they Republicans or Democrats, so timid that they dared not speak up against this foolishness? Bless her heart, there was a congresswoman from Indianapolis and she was just charming. She rose in opposition to the bill last night, and she said, "Now I'm here. Y'all took me away from my Palm Sunday with my family, and you took me out of my church to be here. And since I'm here, I'm going to tell you what my mama would have told you had she been here. We are meddling. We are meddling." And I sat there and I cheered that lady. Simple, plain-spoken meddling. That's what it was. It was meddling. But anyway, how did the Senate manage to pass a bill with 3 votes? And a larger question arising beyond that, at some point in time, do you think it would be to the Democrats' advantage to stop enabling these good-for-nothing Republicans? How many people does it take in the House of Representatives? I don't know the answer to the question. How many people does it take in the House of Representatives in order to constitute a quorum so that they can do business? Is it, I mean, have the Republicans so trampled on the rules of the House that 2 or 3 Republicans standing around on a street corner now constitutes a quorum in the House? I honestly don't know. But I wonder if maybe there's going to come a day when we need a little bit of absolutely inspired, backboned resistance to this political thuggery at which the Republicans have become such masters. And by resistance, I mean every Democrat walk out. If you're going to do the business, you're going to do it by yourself. We wash our hands of it. We take no part in it. I would think if every Democrat walked out of the House of Representatives, they might be hard-pressed to get a quorum. But with what happened in the Senate, honest to God, I don't know. So, you know, give that your consideration. If you can answer the question, I would appreciate it. Listen, we've got to take our bottom-of-the-hour break. For those of you who are on hold, stick around until we get back, right back to the phones. I promise, Scout's honor. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. When you hear the figures, you can't believe it, but it cost an inmate incarcerated in a regional jail for 13 months awaiting trial cost almost $19,000 for the county. But Steve Canterbury, head of the regional jail authority, says the legislature is tackling several bills that could help bring down that number. First is the Rocket Docket. That calls for decreased time between when an inmate enters prison and when his trial comes up in front of a judge. Right now, the average wait is 3 terms or 13 months behind bars in a regional jail facility. For each and every inmate in the system, 13 months costs the county almost $19,000 per inmate. If that could be lowered to 7 months per inmate, it would save the counties $2.5 million a year. That saves individual counties $8,730 per inmate. The Tamarack Foundation hopes a workforce training grant will help attract another generation of artisans to the craft industry in West Virginia. The grant will be used to train the unemployed, underemployed, and disadvantaged youth on skills to help produce items that are in high demand at the Beckley Arts and Crafts Center. Foundation Executive Director Sally Bouchong says the effort is a different approach to attempting to create jobs and to expand West Virginia's creative economy. Nearly 22,000 of West Virginia's baby boomers have no health insurance as they get close to retirement. That according to a Marshall study. The survey is based on responses gathered last fall by researchers. Of the people who responded to the survey, 75% said their health is excellent or good, but 35% said they had financial problems in the past year because of health care. About 3,800 developmentally disabled West Virginians rely on the Medicaid Title 19 waiver program to provide services that help them become more independent. The program waives Medicaid family income guidelines and provides Medicaid-paid therapy, respite care, and training to people who otherwise would have to live in an intermediate care facility for the mentally retarded. The idea is it's cheaper for the government to help families keep people out of institutions. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening and tonight. Partly cloudy, low tonight near 30. But tomorrow, rain likely by afternoon, possibly thunderstorms too, with a high around 50. Tomorrow night, a chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm late in the night with a low near 40. Chance of showers on Wednesday, high near 50. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
The scandals of George W.'s Iraq attack continue to come home to haunt us. Not only did he use false pretenses to get Congress to rush into his invasion, not only did he send our men and women into battle without the protective gear they need to save their lives, not only did he grossly understate the depth of opposition our troops would face during the ongoing occupation, not only did he completely miscalculate the number of troops required to pursue his ideologically motivated mission, but now we learn that he rushed America into the hell of war without preparing for the medical needs of thousands of soldiers who are coming home with severe wounds. A February study by Congress's bipartisan investigative arm found that the Pentagon lacks the ability even to track the wounded, much less assure that each of them gets the full attention they've earned in battle. The report notes that hundreds of those wounded in Iraq have returned home only to be ground up in Pentagon bureaucracy, going months without receiving the medical benefits and pay they've earned. Sergeant First Class John Allen of New Jersey, for example, suffered extensive injuries in a helicopter crash and grenade blast, but he says it was only when he got home that his, quote, real troubles began. He had his leave cut short because a commander lost his paperwork. He had to reapply for medical benefits every 90 days, often denied pay and medical treatment. Now, wearing an eye patch and walking with a cane, Allen says that this bureaucratic morass causes many of the wounded to give up and just go home. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is scandalous. Pentagon officials respond that they were simply unprepared and are now swamped, noting that 15,000 disabled troops came home last year alone. Our troops deserve our support after the war, too. Not only have the Chicken Hawk Bushites failed these vets, but most shamefully, they continue to try to keep the media even from reporting that so many of our people are being wounded in Georgia's war.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 minutes before 9 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I promised to go straight back to the phones. That's what we're going to do. David's with us. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Hey. Good evening, Bob. Good evening.
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm doing just great. And, you know, without getting terribly sidetracked, and I don't want to, that Hightower piece could be an entire show.
I think so.
That Hightower piece could be an entire show because it opens every door and shows every bit of ugliness that administration, those Bushistas, are all about. Ignorance coupled with malaise and malevolence of unprecedented.
Well, is there any more dangerous combination of emotions or states of being in life in general, David, than dumb and stupid?
Well, ignorance rules supreme. Look out, because, you know, laying waste is the next phase. But let's get back to a point of order here.
Sure.
Technically, the Senate was in recess for a break.
That was my understanding.
And now, as you well know, and I'm going to be hideously redundant because I want all of us to remember, there is no more layered arcane, redundant, confusing,
Byzantine,
complicated body on the planet of Earth than the Senate. I mean, no onion has as many layers to peel away. And there is some little tucked in a corner arcane used once in 1883 rule that says when the Grand Poobah shall stand on the one foot, holding his hat and twirling it in the opposing hand, using only the thumb and forefinger, a simple majority of those in attendance. Now, I've been specious and silly, but those in attendance is the key. There is a rule within the Senate that after recess, should something of importance come up, one guy in the group somewhere can say, throw in the something of importance rule, anybody that shows up, that's all it takes. That's how three people did it.
You know, I personally, for my part, David, I believe that rule with the hat in one hand and standing on the other foot probably exists.
Well, there is the addendum on the diamond-studded cane held and, you know, leaned against the hip of the opposing leg.
Well, obviously that probably is how it happened, doesn't that tell, if they'd all bugged out, then this must have been planned, because the man who presided was Representative Mel Martinez of Florida, a Republican, and this was his idea from the get-go.
The rest of the Senate, most of them, some Republicans, want no part of this. Even though there was a, you know, Republican National Committee memo, look, boys, this will play well to the abortionist foes. This will play well to our side of the voting strike. So, fellas, get on board. None of those men want any part of this. Because the next thing that's going to happen is there's going to be 5,000 or more, all right, maybe only 150, but there's going to be a bazillion cases eventually of, oh, look, please take under advisement plight of my fill in the blank.
Yep. And, you know, if we can pass a bill of attainder for Terry Schiavo, I see no reason why we can't pass one for the. Well, you know, if you listen to the way the Republicans talked last night, David, it sounded to me like they were passing universal health care.
I can become so distracted, become so infuriated by that. You said it. You know what? Couldn't that amount of attention? Couldn't that overused word in the 21st century? Focus. He was so focused as he. You know, as he scoped out that putt, he was so focused as he decided to screw the stockholders out of bazillion. Anyway, if the Senate had only developed that level of focus for things that matter, health care, Medicaid, Medicare, you know, forget about Social Security, all these other things, but no, we've got to talk about that poor woman that has been, by any standard, brain dead for 15 years.
Yeah, and 87%, and this goes to show you how completely out of touch with the American people the Republican Party and all its little perverted members are. 87% of America says, dear God, if I'm ever in the position of Terry Schiavo, somebody please kill me.
Please don't employ extraordinary measures. Technically preserve my life, because it's not a life that any of us wants. And all of those hideous, ugly lies about, oh, she responded to me day before yesterday. She is, it's meaningless little twitches within her. I know people in the medical community. I speak to them occasionally. And there is no connection between what that poor woman is doing and anything you and I understand as mental acuity, understanding life. Stephen Hawking is a remarkable example. That
wow.
Brain of his is still quite connected.
Yeah, he's got to have the Star Trek Christopher Pike chair and everything, but yeah.
Exactly. And he responds, he does things. It may take him 2 days to write 6 paragraphs, but most of us could struggle a lifetime and not write those 6 paragraphs.
Yeah, that's six
I'm
paragraphs.
Sorry, that's not Ms. Schiavo's circumstance.
No. No, there's the... Her again, and I'm not trying to be gross, David, her brain is soup. Her brain is liquefied. The cerebral cortex, which most people say controls a whole lot of what makes us us, was by virtue of what happened to her, her brain was washed in cerebral spinal fluid, and it completely liquefied her cerebral cortex. God, my...
Only really the brainstem, as I understand the medical part of it, the anatomy of her situation, it's only really the brainstem. And it just infuriates me that a certifiable lunatic like Tom DeLay stands up and says, she's no different than the rest of us. Well, you know, he may be right.
She's no different.
She's no
different than your average right-wing Republican. Yeah.
Well, yeah, gosh, I contradicted myself. But anyway, you know, she requires no more care than the rest of them, except for this one little tube. Well, that is so damn wrong. She has not moved of her own accord in 15 years.
And
if
things...
she's going to do anything physical, it has to happen with the aid of someone else's hands and someone else's muscle tone.
And anyone who's, well, I don't know about anyone, but the word bed sores comes to mind. You know, that's what happens when you don't move. Bed sores kick in, and your flesh literally rots. I mean, it can become necrotic, it can become chronic, it can become gangrenous.
We need to move every 20 to 30 minutes from any given position to reestablish blood flow. In the absence of blood flow, flesh dies. Soft tissue can't function.
So
she has to be turned, she has to be moved. She, what was that Tom Cruise movie where he lost the use of his limbs? And there was
Born on the 4th of July?
Yes, and it very much ties into that health care issue. Now then those veterans can't even get that. Everything about the body has to be done for her. She can do nothing for herself physically.
Well, you know, I heard the moaning and groaning from these evangelo-fascists. He won't even allow her to be taken outside. There are, and I'm not trying to be gross, David, but the body is what the body is. And there are things that would have to be done to take her outside that would probably be more, assuming that she could even feel it, would be more grief to her than not.
Well, taking her outside would offer no accomplishment for her. And then there is the most disgusting statement of all. This president stands up and says, and I paraphrase, but you won't have any trouble connecting to this, neither will any listener that heard him say it. In these complicated matters, we must always err on the side of life. Well, we've got 1,500 dead, we've got 15,000 maimed, and Iraq has 150,000 dead that should have never happened if that disgusting worm had erred on the side of life.
None of these people would be dead. Oh, I heard him say it, David, and I wanted to pluck my eyeballs out, dip my head in a bucket of lye, and run screaming off a cliff. I mean, it was really one of those moments. These people act with hypocrisy, with impunity, because you know that when he said, in favor of the culture of life, you know that there were people standing there holding hands, singing Kumbaya, and that creep Bo Gritz trying to carry this woman bread and water, and she can't even chew. And they were saying, yes, he is Jesus' friend. Yes, he is. And it just made me want to vomit.
He is a righteous man. Well, let's turn to a more academic frame of reference.
Okay.
400 schools in the state of Texas are going to be investigated for cheating on the No Child Left Behind statewide standard testing. Have you heard of this?
I saw only a mention of it. I don't know the details.
Well, the whistleblower that was drummed out of the Houston school system in November of 2003 that had been given instructions on how to help students cheat. The state of Texas has finally had so many people come forward that there are 40 ongoing investigations of individual schools where essentially the students were coached, given the answers, encouraged to cheat, or students just disappeared from rolls. There are going to be several hundred schools within the state of Texas. And that very nice man that was the Minister of Diseducation.
Rod Page.
Yeah, thank you.
The man who said...
The fellow in Houston that kicked the whole thing off and probably taught them all how to cheat.
Yep.
Well, he's gone. There's another one. And now then, even the state of Texas, a state that is so rife with corruption and right-wing idealism, they can't even cover it up. Because now then, all of those kids that did so well 1, 2, and 3, and 4 years ago by the standard tests of the state of Texas, all of those kids have hit the universities, and they've bounced off. That was the underpinning for taking a look at it. All those kids that had made all that progress, oops, they got to a community college and couldn't fill out the application.
You mean they went to the northeast corner of Southwest Texas State Community College for the challenge and failed?
Precisely, Bob. Cha-ching, we have a winner.
But these were like 4.0 students from... Jesus' own best friend public high school in Houston, right?
Oh, exactly right.
I mean, they probably had prayer in schools and said the Pledge of Allegiance and added God to it 3 or 4 times and it, all of the, and they're failing and I'll be damned.
Yeah, right after prayers, there's this woman that I heard her interviewed on mainstream media this morning. She said, one of the schools that she's transferred out of, this is how sophisticated they became. She would walk around during the standard testing, and she would look over students' shoulders. And if the answer was A on question 15, she would stand behind the student. The student would look at her. The student would mark B. And the teacher would stand and not move. And then the student would look at the teacher. The teacher would look at the student. Then the student would point to D, the teacher would stand. The student would point to C, the teacher would, and the student would finally point to A, the correct answer, and the teacher would walk on.
I was going to say, what would she do? Whinny? I mean...
Nope.
Oh, my God. I've been in more honest country club poker games, David. You know, the ones with all the kicking going on under the table.
Playing thong with a caddies was more fair than that.
Oh, my God.
And believe me, black caddies in a white country club, when they saw a white boy coming with money in his pocket, ooh.
All bets were on.
They could see new shoes and a real slick shirt just walking up to the table.
So is it safe to say that, you know, if this is going on in Texas, we can extend... I mean, Texas is the little... swampy, dirty.
It's our laboratory on how to take it to the world, Bob.
Yeah, so you're going to see it soon in Texas, and we're going to see it soon here in Tennessee, and we're going to see it soon in West Virginia, and children are going to be left behind in Virginia.
And those nice folks in Utah and Minnesota and I think one other state that said, you know, there's no child left behind is a crock. Forget the federal money. We're going to go back to educating kids.
You know, it would be a real bonus. I had the opportunity to speak with an educator last Friday night, and for the sake of anonymity and privacy, he will remain nameless, but he said that No Child Left Behind is the nemesis of educating our children today, because you spend all your time teaching the test.
Exactly. You're teaching to a test. You're not teaching thought. You're not teaching analysis. You're not teaching rational evaluation of a situation. You're not teaching problems, so you're teaching a test. And we've already established long, 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 long ago that the SAT as a standardized test is a terrible predictor of college performance.
Oh, yes.
But we're going to enforce standardized testing for the purpose of establishing George Bush as the education president.
But let's remember that these what is it, the Educational Testing Corporation, is that the name of it or something like that? Emphasis on the word corporation. There's money to be made in tormenting our children. I'm not kidding, David, when I say that I so far have two beautiful children who become violently ill at the very thought of test-taking time. It was said to them maybe a year or two ago, now, if y'all don't do real good on the test, they're going to fire your principal, and we don't want that to happen.
Whew!
Oh, that's charming. Oh, and speaking of principals, you know, it's a little... I didn't realize this until very recently, but if you're a principal in the state of Texas and your test scores improve by a certain amount, you know what happens, Bob?
What?
You get a $5,000 yearly bonus. And if you're a superintendent of schools in a school district and your district goes up by a set amount, you know, kind of a bonus, you get a $20,000 yearly.
We're in the wrong business.
Well, when education is
What happens when they go down?
Well, I don't know. Probably, well, let's see. I can think of various things, but nothing good. You don't get a bonus.
And the kids get screwed.
Kids get screwed, and the money gets cut off because obviously they've proven that whatever money were given had been wasted because the test scores went down. But if an underpaid educator is being paid this amount and can get $20,000, if the district goes up, there's a real incentive there. It's like the horrible, horrible thing that nobody wants to talk about with privatized prison. If there's no prisoners, the fella in the prison business doesn't make any money. So let's send them all to jail.
And if the population goes down, for God's sakes, let's create some crimes.
Exactly.
Now we're back to
Wait a second. Those guys want to do that? Well, let's just criminalize that 10 times more than the other form of the same drug so that we can put this many people in. Because typically those poor guys can't afford lawyers, and they'll never get out. And, you know, the incarceration company of America will make tons of dough. Well, now then they've got testing companies making mega bucks off of fraudulent tests administered by cheaters. There I go again, betraying my Tennessee public school education by using the wrong tense of that one. Oh, well.
Oh, you must have gotten left behind, David.
Oh, I guess I did.
Do me a favor. If you see a link to something, I'd really like to read up on that a little bit more.
You can go to NPR and just...
Is it from NPR?
It was a 15-minute piece this morning.
Okay. Morning edition. Good deal.
Morning edition.
I'll go find it. This ought to be fun.
Yeah.
I really like the part where she taps her foot on the floor, you know, three times for C and four times for D. And you know,
it's almost that obvious.
And whinnies if it's none of the above.
one school principal that had a really long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to get to where we're supposed to be. You know, the correct answers on the chalkboard for him.
No, you can almost see him standing there going, ixnay on the E-Day. Yeah. David, thanks so much.
Take advantage of this thing that I'm writing on the board. It will help us all. Oh, the Republicans. God, Bob, if it weren't so deplorable, it would be laughable. I'm sorry. Comedians couldn't write this stuff.
No, the last comedian I knew that could write anything half as funny as this would be an old fellow named Mohandas K. Jeeves.
Oh, not even him.
Maybe not. Hey, David, thanks so much.
Bob, thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
See ya.
Imagine that. Texans cheating on George Bush's standardized tests. Oh, who'd have thunk it? Heart-rending to even comprehend. Listen... more of your phone calls when we come back. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. There is one line open if you want to try to jump in with it. Apart from that, I promise I will go right back to the phones out of the news. I really promise. See, I did it last time, too. I just, you know me, my mouth gets going. What are we going to do? This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Head On.
Welcome to Headcare with Dr. Kelly. You're on caller.
Hi, I'm having problems. People don't find attractive.
And how do you know?
Because they gag when they see me.
Sounds like we're having a self-image problem, yes?
Well, I'm round, red. Well, I'm round, red. Say, I'm a polyp.
Aren't you being a little hard on yourself, polyp?
Maybe. But there is one more thing.
What's that?
If I'm around long enough, I give you cancer. Hello?
Well, that's interesting. Can we go to the next caller, please, right now?
Let me talk. I grow on you.
When a colon polyp shows up, get rid of it right away, because colon polyps can lead directly to colon cancer. Get the polyp early and stop colon cancer before it even starts.
Hi, it's me again. Hello?
And that's both for men and women. So just get a test from your doctor.
Hello? I think I got cut off, so to speak. Hello?
Colon cancer. Get the test, get the polyp, get the cure. For more information, call 1-800-ACS-2345 or visit cancer.org. A public service message brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the Ad Council, and this station.
For the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
I'm Frank Abagnale. You might have seen some of my scams in the movie Catch Me If You Can. Fake insurance policies are scams, and they're on the rise. But fighting fake insurance is simple. Know what to look for and catch it, because you can. For more information, visit NAIC.org or call your state insurance department.
Hello, I'm Dave Lariski, head of MSHA. Statistics show that mining operations that employ five or fewer miners tend to experience many more accidents that cause injury than larger mines. And for that reason, we at MSHA recently created a new small mine safety and health office. Its purpose is to help operators of smaller mining sites enhance their safety and health efforts. Here's how we can help. We'll work directly with small operators to tailor a safety program just for them. We'll provide on-site compliance assistance with MSHA requirements. We'll develop an ongoing working relationship with the operator and make contacts on a regular basis. We want to become a partner in safety and health at these operations. So call your local MSHA office for more information about the Small Mines Office and how it can help you. Thank you for listening, and remember, safety is a value.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob, and I promise to go straight to the phones and not just blab away myself. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening, man?
Straight from the Manson Report. I got to speak for you.
Okay.
Chris Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatically voiced the Left Behind series.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And considering the fact that he's an aficionado of kiddie porn, Left Behind takes on an entirely new meaning.
ArcherProductions.com.
Say it again.
ArcherProductions.com. A-R-C-H-E-R Productions.com. Did some... On the only search engine to ever use, LookSmart.com.
Okay.
I looked up, and it was about the fifth or sixth one down. I saw, Left Behind. And there it was.
Oh, these perverts. Oh, these...
Yeah,
I mean, the guy wasn't going broke. He lived in Brentwood, and that's a decent neighborhood in Nashville, I understand.
Yes, it is. Okay, the thing of everybody wanting Terry Schiavo to be brought outside.
Mm-hmm.
Since we talk about Left Behind, you know, quasi-biblical... Doesn't that sound, he wouldn't even bring her outside. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Sodom and Gomorrah, bring him outside so that we may know him?
Yes, it does. Oh, I hate the way you think sometimes.
I mean, seriously.
Oh. Yeah, and, well, you know, I mean, the cretins outside, Lot's house at Sodom and Gomorrah, yeah. Sodom or Gomorrah, we don't know which neighborhood he lived in.
Somewhere in between. There was a fence between them.
It was one of those gated sodomite communities.
Yeah, no, it was a fence between kind of like Palestinians, you know, where they had the big fence with a wall, you know.
But, they wanted the angels or whatever they were brought outside. And, here are these, remoras, lampreys, blood-sucking leeches, you know, they want to come outside and stare at her a little bit. So Bo Fritz can bring her some bread that she can't eat.
Oh, Bo Fritz.
Bo Fritz.
The Democrats that listen to you, not the grimy little Republicans that call me a kook on the that wonder, you know, how I have this time to look stuff up, all this stuff. I think I was called Disabled Alabama Chris.
Okay. Well, don't empower them, Chris.
Well, they said bad things about you, and they said bad things about me, so, my God, we must be doing something right.
Exactly.
Let's talk just a minute about Terry Schiavo.
Sure.
The article I just sent you, and you got, I'm going to quote a little bit here. At every opportunity, Tom DeLay has sanctimoniously proclaimed his concern for the well-being of Terry Schiavo. And he is only trying to ensure she has the chance we all deserve. Schiavo's medications are paid for by Medicaid. Just last week, DeLay marshaled a budget resolution through the House of Representatives that would cut funding for Medicaid by at least $15 billion, threatening the quality of care for people like Terry Schiavo. As the Senate voted to restore the funding, DeLay is threatening to hold up the entire budget process if he doesn't get his way. And this is the same guy that was having all these little sound bites, you know, for poor old Terry Schiavo.
Culture life.
Okay, Bill Fritz has been positioning himself in the media as a champion for Schiavo's interests. Yes, much of Schiavo's medical care has been financed by a $1 million from two medical malpractice lawsuits Schiavo won after her heart attack 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's what George Bush calls winning life's lottery.
That's right. Fritz has been leading the charge to limit recovery for people like Schiavo, who are severely debilitated. If Fritz is successful, people like Schiavo would not be able to recover any punitive damages, no matter how severe their injuries. And I think that you've been talking about this for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned the case of a young man.
Son Hudson,
yeah.
Yeah, that one it just broke my heart. You know, and I'm sorry, but, you know, there goes Bob calling the Republicans racist again. No, actually, tonight I'm calling them perverts, but racist, you know, you get as a bonus. You know, honest to God, why couldn't Tom DeLay call an extraordinary session of Congress for a little black baby?
Oh, another thing. I didn't hear all the shows this evening. You may have already touched on this. That thing... I'll call it a thing that they pushed through last night.
Mm-hmm.
That was only to do with her.
Right. It was unconstitutional as the day is long. It was, Chris, a bill of attainder within the meaning, I believe, or at least an ex post facto law within the meaning of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution. And if any, and I'm surprised. I mean, this federal judge heard arguments today. I'm surprised. Yeah, he has the jurisdiction to rule on constitutional issues, and someone should have raised it and said, "This is." It was an unconstitutional act on its face.
Absolutely. Huh. You said that, you know, they were acting like they were passing universal health care or something.
No, I mean, that's what it sounded like. You know, we will stand for a culture of life wherever life is threatened.
Whatever happened to voting your party? You noticed it was, what, over 100 Democrats didn't show up to vote?
Well, not just that, but the last I saw, what, 23 of them had voted in favor of it?
Yeah, 23 have voted in favor, and I think two Republicans have voted against it.
Well, I'll guarantee you, those Democrats that voted in favor of it, Chris, were not voting their conscience.
Oh, no, they were voting their wallet.
No, they were voting their fear.
Yeah.
Well, because
that kind of hits the wallet, too.
Well, no, I'm guessing if you took every one of those Democrats that voted in favor of this little piece of unconstitutional garbage, you would probably find that every one of those 23 Democrat members of the House are up for re-election in 06. And they are scared to death of this
this right-wing pseudo-Christian, what, Christ abominating little mafia that the pro-life crowd has turned into. And I mean that in every negative sense of the word that I can muster. That's they are.
Barney Frank was leading that last night. He voted for it.
Chris, sometimes I don't know.
I don't understand that either. By doing one thing, he was satisfying half of the people in his district, and doing by the other, he was satisfying the other half.
Beats the life out of me, Chris. I keep going back and going back to what Will Rogers said. I do not want a third political party in the United States, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a second one.
Oh, man, that's priceless. I tell you, if you want to...
Or maybe that was Hightower that said that. I'm not sure which.
Well, you know, they're a little hot.
Yeah, they are.
One needs the rope, another's got the hat. If you want to read, I know you already know this, I'm talking to everybody else out there. If you want to really, really read someone, is a premier investigative journalist, read Last. I am reading The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
It's like reading a Stephen King novel. And I don't mean because it's fiction, I mean because it's that scary.
Is that scary? It is that scary. Oh, my. Have you read it?
Oh, yeah.
The parts where he is doing his investigation with Tony Blair, and he posed as a company, and all these lobbyists were throwing stuff at him and trying to impress him with, I can get you this, I can get you that. Oh, my goodness. I wish to goodness someone would write a book just about that in our country here.
You never know. He may be working on it. With any luck at all, we'll have him on the show again soon.
Really? You've had him on the show?
Oh, yeah. That was back before you started listening, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Man. He's something else.
Well, he is the best investigative journalist in the world today.
Without a doubt. I tell you, if I was a politician, I'd do everything I could to keep him off my tail. I tell you. I mean, even if...
Well, I just
even
wish...
meaning well, you're going to mess up.
But, of course, you know, he's not... You'll never see a word of his... or you'll never see a report of his on any, you know, liberal media in the United States. He's rock solid. Everything he wrote about Florida is true.
After the election.
Yeah. And not a peep out of the mainstream corporate media.
Well, ABC uses his footage.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're coming with their gun up. They'll say BBC, but they won't say Greg Palast.
Nope.
I love their quote in... And Best Democracy Money Can Buy, the Clinton White House, the Democratic White House, they found out about that story about the election, the purging of the non-existent criminals, and they said, oh, great, who's the reporter? Greg Palast. Oh, we hate that guy. Look, stupid. You're doing like Ernesto Che Guevara. You're cutting off the hands and sending them to the wrong people. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You don't need a horse's head. Ridiculous, but as soon as we give up and just look away, it's going to get worse.
Oh, sure. I mean, this is a slow-moving train wreck, Chris.
Oh, yeah. It's been going since the 40s. It's getting worse.
Hey, Chris, we got to hit our break, man.
Take care, Bob.
See ya.
All right.
Thanks for the info. Okay, yeah, it is break time. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Ed On. We'll be back in a minute. Phone calls 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. I'm Bob. We'll be right back.
How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded, plus an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th Annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Whips need not apply.
Celebrate the risen Lord this Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley. Enjoy a free concert featuring Kim and Brian Tabor at the 10:45 a.m. service. The public is welcome and invited to attend. Easter Sunday, March 27th at the First Baptist Church of Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. As we ponder the filthiness that is Republicanism, David made mention of this during our conversation, the memo. Are you familiar with this? If there was any doubt about the Terri Schiavo hearings, this one put paid to them all. This poor human being, this miserable, suffering member of humanity, suffering to the extent that she is no longer able to appreciate her own humanity, was the subject of a Republican talking points memo. And this is... Now, never mind the fact that we have gasoline at $2.20 a gallon and climbing. Never mind the fact that we have... Oh, a skyrocketing deficit. Never mind the fact that filthy dirtbags like this hopelessly politically corrupt former exterminator Tom DeLay is up to his neck in graft. Never mind the 100,000 plus dead, you know, the Iraqi civilians. Never mind the 1,520 dead American soldiers. Never mind the 15 or 20,000 maimed American soldiers. Never mind any number of things. The Congress had time to perform an arguably unconstitutional act last night because they're part of the Republicans are part of a culture of life. At the bottom of it all is this. A memo, a one-page memo, distributed to Republican senators by party leaders that said the Schiavo case. Listen to how they describe this pitiful member of suffering humanity. It's, quote, a great political issue, unquote. Not this poor, miserable human being who has lived, if you can even remotely call it living, in this state for 15 long years that 87% of the American people say they would not want to have happen to them. This woman who can do nothing for herself. She's not a human being to the Republican Party. She's a great political issue. Is there when you hear things like this, do you understand why I so thoroughly despise the Republican Party and everything it stands for? The filth and the graft and the perversion and the kiddie diddling and the killing and the maiming. Terri Schiavo is, and I quote, a great political issue. And they were excited to have it, the Republicans were, the Republicans were, because the pro-life base will be excited. This is a quote. The pro-life base will be excited that the Senate is debating this important issue. She's not a human being to a Republican. She's an issue. She's a way of motivating a bunch of nearly brain dead in their own right, Republican lockstep marching, mouth breathing morons who don't understand that there is no such thing as pro-life to a Republican. There's pro-bottom line, there's pro-corporate expansion, there's pro-Wall Street, there's pro-war, there's pro-death, but there is no such thing, sunshine, in the Republican Party as pro-life. Got it? Here's another quote. This is a great political issue. This human being, this Terri Schiavo, this poor woman who had something happen to her we would not want to happen to the worst. Well, no, if it happened to Tom DeLay, it'd be okay. That we would not want to happen to most other human beings. This is a great political issue because Senator Nelson of Florida has already refused to become a co-sponsor, and this is a tough issue for Democrats. And, you know, you'll hear from time to time, one place or another, you know, a pox on the Congress for wasting their time this way. Yeah, well, no. Who controls the agenda of the Senate and who controls the agenda of the House of Representatives? You don't get to tar everybody with the same brush. The tar goes on the good-for-nothing, never had an original idea to call its own Republican Party. They don't think about things that will make America better. They think about things that will make them more politically strong. This is disgusting. They are disgusting. My God. I don't know how anybody who values their humanity can call themselves a Republican, because they stand for nothing human. I mean, the walking contradiction in terms that is this their stance on this Terri Schiavo case, as Chris mentioned. This woman is supported, Mrs. Schiavo, is supported by Medicaid. You know, that commie program that the conservatives despise. She is supported by Medicaid. All right, do you understand? And just last week, this filthy golem delay stomped his evil little foot and shoved through the House a funding cut for Medicaid of at least $15 billion. That's $6 billion more than Paul Bremer lost in the couch at the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad. And yeah, if he gets his way, it will affect Terri Schiavo. Bet it will. Now, she did have about $1 million from a judgment in a medical malpractice case. Remember that. The most of that has been drained away in her care. Okay? That's why Medicaid has kicked in. She has nothing left. There's something called a drawdown. She got that because she sued the doctor her husband sued the doctor in her behalf, who made her this way. And Bill Frist, that dirty abortionist Republican, who is the majority leader in the Senate, whom I would not cross a room to spit on, Bill Frist wants to take away that process by which Mrs. Schiavo was at least able to have medical care when the doctor had done hit with his butchery. But he's pro-life. Never mind the fact that Hospital Corporation of America, which his family owns, does more abortions than Carter has little liver pills every blessed day.
He's pro-life. And yeah, remember, George Bush sat there with his taxpayer-fueled jet ready to go to fly back from Crawford to Washington to sign this bill of attainder.
And he talked about the culture of life.
When in fact, not too long back, he described Terri Schiavo and people like her, you know, who sue doctors when they get butchered. He described Terri Schiavo as,
well, she won life's lottery.
Despicable, disgusting, revolting, repugnant. And yet there are people out there saying, ah, he's Jesus' best friend. So that's who you're dealing with. That's who you're dealing with. That's the Republican Party. Kitty diddlers, fondlers, kitty porn watching, serial killing. That is the Republican Party. If you're a member of it, that is who you associate with. Don't get mad at me, get mad at them. Ask why your party has this problem. Ask if you want to be part of it. Take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A weekend fire has destroyed an apartment complex in Oak Hill. The fire was reported at the six-unit complex on East Main around 9:30 yesterday morning. Fire was fully involved when Oak Hill police and firefighters from Oak Hill, Mount Hope, and Fayetteville arrived. Efforts to put out the fire were hampered by construction in the construction that was going on in the remodeled building. Only two of three apartments were occupied. An elderly female tenant was taken to Plateau Medical, where her condition was unknown today. Traffic from the intersection of Route 19 to Fountain Terrace Shopping Center was blocked until around 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon because of that fire. A Kanawha County man has been accused of torturing and killing a dog that was tied to a vehicle, then drugged, and then taped to the steering wheel of an abandoned SUV and left to die. He's 37-year-old Mark Allen Starcher of Pond Gap, charged yesterday with one count of felony animal cruelty. Lieutenant Jess Bales with Kanawha County Sheriff's Office says Starcher is being held at the South Central Regional Jail. ATV riders found the dog's body on Monday near Sanderson, that's just east of the Pinch Quick area. Its front paws and chest cavity had been taped to the steering wheel of an abandoned SUV. And Raleigh County Schools will not be showing a controversial music video. The We Are Family Foundation distributed 61,000 copies. The three-minute video shows a large group of popular children's characters, including Barney, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Arthur singing and dancing together to the song We Are Family. The video's producers say it teaches tolerance for all types of families. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for tonight. Partly cloudy, low near 30. But then for tomorrow, rain, possibly thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 50. Rain and thunderstorms possible tomorrow night, low 40. Then a chance of showers on Wednesday with a high near 52. For Newstalk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Prepare your soil for spring planting. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro garden soil, the first step toward a great garden. One of the questions I get all the time is, how can I tell when my soil is ready to be worked in the spring? The answer is pretty simple. Take a handful of soil and squeeze it together. If it doesn't stick together in a glob, it's ready to be worked. If your soil is at this point, now is the time to get it ready for the season ahead. Whether you're planting a new landscape bed or just adding a shrub or two, amending your native soil can help plants grow faster, stronger, and healthier. For one thing, it helps loosen heavy clay soils, making it easier for roots to grow and thrive. And if your soil is sandy, amending it can help improve moisture retention. Second, it puts nutrients back into the soil. You can improve your soil by adding organic matter like a commercial compost or manure. An even easier way is to add what's known as garden soil. These are all-in-one products that provide exactly the right balance of sphagnum peat moss, organic materials, and nutrients plants need. Best of all, they come in different formulations, so you can get the right soil for your need. To amend beds for flowers or vegetable gardens, spread the garden soil over the native soil and work it into the existing soil. If you're planting trees and shrubs, mix the garden soil with dirt removed from the planting holes. Then backfill the mixed soil around the transplants. By improving your soil now, your plants will grow healthy and robust during the season ahead. How does your garden grow? Beautifully, if you start with Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. It's made with rich organic ingredients and now contains Miracle-Gro continuous-release plant food. So your plants will grow twice as big, guaranteed. I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's Pet Tip. You know, more and more people are looking for veterinarians that will come and take care of their pet at home. Let's face it, sometimes it's a lot easier, especially for routine visits. Our pets are not thrilled about going to the vet to start with unless you followed my advice and have taken them there when they're not getting a visit just so they associate it with something positive. But if you have an older dog or older cat, you might want to check with your vet or with the local veterinary medical association to see if there are veterinarians that do come to the home. Also, when the final day comes and you have to say goodbye to your best friend, some people don't want that final goodbye to be on a cold metal table in some office that your cat or dog doesn't like anyway. More and more veterinarians around the country will come to your home for that final goodbye so that your cat or your dog may have the dignity that he lived with when you do say that final goodbye to your pet. So think about it. If you have trouble getting your pet to the vet, see if there's a vet in your area that may come to you. It'll make you feel a lot more comfortable, and we know how your pet will feel. I'm Warren Eckstein.
With all the recent news about prescription medications, a lot of my friends are concerned about what to take for arthritis pain. I'm not. I'm doing what my doctor told me to do years ago. Take Aleve. He said the active ingredient in Aleve has been trusted by doctors for all-day relief for nearly 30 years. Aleve really works, but don't take my word for it. Ask your doctor if Aleve is right for you.
Aleve. Prescription strength relief without a prescription. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Kings bowed to him. Emperors fled from him. Even wild horses knelt before him. There's a reason they didn't call him Alexander the Timid. Alexander the Great, a great warrior, an even greater story. Film on location this Sunday night at 8, 7 Central, as only the History Channel can bring you.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 10 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. If you've got a burr under your saddle or a bee in your bonnet, this would be the time to deal with it. In the same vein in which we talked about Sun Hudson, bear in mind that's not the only case. There's one more chance. There's one more chance for Tom DeLay to jump out there and have himself a little culture alive. And the man's name is Spiro Nicolazos, and his family is fighting for his very life. Again, against the law that George Bush signed into effect when he was governor of Texas that allows hospitals to take away life support for people who can't afford it. Spiro Nicolazos is 68 years old. And in 2001, he became an invalid. He had bleeding that was related to a shunt in his brain, and he became dependent upon a feeding tube in his stomach. And on March the 1st, Jeanette Nicolazos, his wife, perishing as she did a culture of life,
had been taking care of her husband at home, honoring that marriage vow which says, in sickness and in health. And she honored that vow, and she had been taking care of him at home since 2001. They live in Texas, of course, that culture of death. He had a feeding tube, Mr. Nikolozos did. Nikolozos? I don't know. He had a feeding tube, and on February the 10th, the area surrounding that feeding tube, and it generally, if I understand the medicine of it, it goes in somewhere around the navel. On February 10th, the area around the tube started bleeding. And Jeanette Nikolozos rushed her husband to St. Luke's Hospital for emergency care. They put him on a ventilator. Interesting, there's no evidence that he was on a ventilator at home. He seemed to be breathing by himself, just as Terry Schiavo is. But they put him on a vent there. And then, on March the 1st, doctors, using this law signed into effect by that evil, bloodthirsty, jug-eared, bug-eyed dolt in the White House, doctors told the family that they would kill Mr. Nikolozos in 10 days once they had decided he was brain dead. Do you approve of this? Especially the Bush voters, who thought they were voting for someone who supported a culture of life and turns out to be an agent of death. To approve of what is being done to Mr. Nikolozos. Now look, I don't think that I or my lovely wife would want to live in a vegetable state. I'll make certain that I make that directive known, God willing. But who are we to tell Mrs. Nikolozos, who is the spouse and therefore the guardian of her husband? Who are we in this wealthy, rich nation that can afford yet more tax cuts for our corporate masters? Who are we to tell her that her husband's life has no value? All kinds of things go into these considerations. Who is the Congress of the United States to march into the middle of the Nikolozos family and say, we've made a determination? Who is the Congress to walk into the Schiavo family and make that determination? It was very well said by a member of the House from Massachusetts last night. He said, I have an advance directive. My wife has an advance directive. And I don't want the Congress, he said, and this was a Democrat, of course, he said, I want the Congress to stay out of my business and stay out of my life. And, of course, that's what the great Reagan Republicans were so noted for.
We're going to get the government off your back. Nancy, is ketchup still a vegetable? God knows I will be soon.
You understand? They're going to kill Mr. Nikolozos. They're going to kill him. His wife doesn't want that to happen. And here's the fun part. They've been given 10 days to find out if there is a nursing home that will take him. And the nursing home has said yes, they will, if they can prove that Medicaid will pay for his care once Medicare runs out. Where are the pro-lifers? Where are they? Waiting. They aren't there because they're not pro-life. They're a gang of stinking political hypocrite hacks that I wouldn't trust with a handful of excrement. This is pitiful. They are literally fighting a matter of life and death. And a judge has restrained the doctors from killing Mr. Nikolozos just yet. But Tom DeLay is not out there fighting for him, and there's another Texan. Won't fight for him.
George Bush won't fight for him. That stinking Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin won't fight for him. Because it's not Florida. Do you understand? It's not Florida. They would not be paying attention to Terry Schiavo if it wasn't Florida, if Jebby Bush didn't have to be groomed for the monarchy. These things happen in Florida for a reason, and it has nothing to do with divine intervention. It has to do with the political intervention of the dirtiest, filthiest, most Machiavellian political party to come down the pike since, well, you know who. They've got to get people all warm and fuzzy about Jebby Bush. Because they intend Jebby to rule you in 4 more years, 3 more years. And the Congress has to stir up this so-called pro-life debate because they intend to pull it like a little red wagon in about a year and a half in the 06 elections. Because the Republicans are scared to death that we're finally seeing through them. We have given them since 1994, we have given them, it will be by then 12 years to come through on their promises. And all they have done is pass out political pork for their corporate masters, the real Americans. Do you see what's going on? Sure you do. But when you, you know, if you're a praying type, when you say a prayer tonight, say one for Spiro Nicolazos. And by the way, just for the fun of it, you know, these well-intentioned morons standing with their little protest signs outside the hospice where Terry Schiavo lays in her shadow state between life and death. There are people out there that's with signs that are shaped like spoons that say, "Feed Terry now." So this is a hunger issue, too. But, of course, no, it's not. George Bush's Department of Agriculture plans on cutting funds to the food stamp program in favor of farm subsidies for the corporate mega farmers like Archer Daniels, Midland, and Monsanto, and that crowd. So I thought you might particularly enjoy this one. Now this is out of North Carolina. There is a church there called the Central Church of God. And back on March 1st, it sent a little letter to a local ministry called Loaves and Fishes. Loaves and Fishes is a food pantry, you know, named after the miracle that Jesus did with the loaves and fishes, right? It's a food pantry that serves the needy. Now, the Central Church of God has about 6,000 members, and they dig deep. And the Central Church of God has until recently participated in Loaves and Fishes because Loaves and Fishes feeds the hungry and, oh, I don't know. What did he say? Jesus, the Palestinian carpenter? Feed my sheep? Well, the Central Church of God, who is led by some creep named Reverend Lauren Livingston, and the church is known for its huge crowds and the electrifying sermons that the Reverend Lauren Livingston delivers, the Central Church of God has decided to cut off its support to the Loaves and Fishes food ministry. Now, we are talking about starving people, right? We're talking about how the culture of life wants people to be fed, right? Well, you're just going to love this one. Crisis Assistance Ministry in Charlotte. They provide emergency financial aid and other kinds of help to people who are direly in need. And the Central Church of God has cut funding to them, too. They cut funding for Love Incorporated. Love Incorporated provides services for the poor and the elderly and the disabled in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. All these people, they've cut off services and funding to. You want to know why? Now, this is your right-wing evangelical culture of life church, okay? Probably sit around watching the Left Behind series with voiceover work by, what was his name? Come on. Chris Ruhlman, recently arrested for enjoying, as it were, kiddie porn. The Central Church of God has withdrawn its support for these groups because, wait for it, eat a Tums, get a Rolaid, this is sickening. They have withdrawn their financial support for poor people because some of these food pantry and Love Incorporated and Loaves and Fishes Crisis Assistance Ministry, they've withdrawn their support for all of that because all of these organizations share one thing in common, and that is they don't just work with Central Church of God, and they don't make the people that they help go to Central Church of God with its 6,000 members. Hey! They work with anyone who wants to help suffering humanity. To wit, Loaves and Fishes, and Love Incorporated, and the Charlotte Rescue Mission, and Crisis Assistance Ministry, they work. This is just disgusting. I mean, they happen to work with Methodists, and they work with Presbyterians, and they work with Lutherans, and they work with Episcopals, and they work with Baptists. But what gets under the skin of the Central Church of God and the Reverend Lauren Livingston is the fact that all of these organizations work with Roman Catholics. Are you revolted? Are you just sickened by this? The Central Church of God has the unmitigated gall to hold itself out as a part of the body of Christ, and they are willing to pull their financial support away from people that deal with, you know, the least of these, as in, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. That was Jesus talking. They've pulled away their financial support because the Roman Catholics get to help too. This makes a sour, acid gorge rise up out of my belly that I... Better that the Central Church of God should not exist than it should behave like this. Listen to the letter they sent. As a Christian church, we feel it is our responsibility to follow closely the principles and commands of Scripture. To do this best, we feel we should abstain from any ministry that partners with or promotes Catholicism, or for that matter, any other denomination promoting a works-based salvation. Here, let's do that with a little less drama. As a Christian church, we feel it is our responsibility to follow closely the principles and commands of Scripture. To do this best, we feel we should abstain from any ministry that partners with or promotes Catholicism, or for that matter, any other denomination promoting a works-based salvation. Do you notice the inherent nasty bigotry in that letter? They refer to themselves as a Christian church, but then they say, ministry that partners with or promotes Catholicism. That's the quiet little right-wing hateful code that says, them Catholics is Mary worshippers. They're not really Christians. These are the people who support George Bush. What is so pitiful and sad is that so many Roman Catholics went out and voted for him too, voting against their own best interests. Whether I agree with it or not, it has been on this earth for about 1,800 years, and it is older by far than the Central Church of God, or any amount of doctrine as established by the Reverend Lauren Livingston and his hands-laying, faith-healing foolishness. And say what you will, I disagree with the church's stand on abortion. I also disagree with their stand on condoms, birth control pills. There's not a lot that I don't disagree with the Roman Catholic Church about. But above all, they are consistent. They believe that life is sacred at the beginning and at the end, and they are consistent. And in the middle, they try to serve. And in the middle, they reach out to the poor and the suffering. But because they want to serve people, the Central Church of God doesn't want anything to do with them. These are sick people. These are the people who support George Bush. The religiously intolerant, the pederasts, the pedophiles, the kiddie porn aficionados. That is who you associate yourself with when you elect to associate yourself with George Bush. You got it? Is that disgusting? A church pulling its funds because another church is participating as well? Oh, yeah. Jesus would love that one. Monsters. Look, we're done for the evening. Thanks to all who participated. And to those who are still on hold, I apologize. I got carried away again. Look, we'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and I'm sure there will be plenty more. The show, of course, tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Curbway, and announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. If you want to hear the show again, or any other show of recent vintage, go to whiterosesociety.org. Ben Birch archives the show.